Yeah, well, I'm going to jump right in. I tell you, this is such an amazing day. I'm so excited. You have no idea. It's been a hot week. Anybody been hot? I was telling Mike this week. When I left this week, every day I left the house, I'd have to get 4 extra shirts and put them in the car because before the day was over, I would have to change shirts 4 times between different projects. I was constantly pulling the shirt off, putting another shirt because I was sweating through them so fast. And so I know wherever you were, it was hot too. And so I know it's been hot, it's been long, but I was reading the paper yesterday and it said the heat wave was supposed to be over last night. Praise God. Aren't you glad the heat wave's over? But I've been looking forward to today for a long time. Not because it's just any old day. Personally, like in me and Jen's family, for the last 6 months, we felt like God gave us a goal to go after. And then we started going after this goal because God had put some things on our heart. At the beginning of this year, do you remember, the Lord told me very strongly this was going to be the year of opportunity. Now, how many of you guys have seen opportunity? God has brought opportunities your way this year. Let me let you know something about this year. If you haven't seen God's opportunities He's been bringing your way, then what's happened is you've probably been seeing the same opportunities the devil's been bringing you your way. You probably had opportunities to get upset. You probably had opportunities to get offended. You probably had opportunities to get mad, get hurt. But the thing about it is, you're going to get what you expect. And if you're expecting God to bring opportunities, you're going to get what you expect. And today I'm going to start a topic on expecting. I don't know if I'll get all the way through it today, because I've got a totally different message I wanted to speak on. I was juggling these messages. I actually have them both typed out, both ready to go. And I've been praying all week long which message to bring about. So the goal is next week, I believe, that the Lord, if we can get through this week, the Lord's going to have me speak just add water. And if that doesn't make sense to you, what you need to know is this. That the Bible said that when Mary and the guys were at a wedding feast and they ran out of resources. How many guys have noticed, how many guys that your electric bill came in this month and you've noticed you might be running out of resources this month? I was shocked at how high my electric bill. Me and Jim were like, I never had one this big. It's just hot. But our electric bill, we've been letting the girls swim. It's like there's some situation, I don't know about you, but I've had some resources run out this week. At that wedding feast, Bible says there, and they had some resources. The Bible said they ran out of wine. That meant the party was over. How many of you guys feel like all the joy has been sucked out of what you're going on and going through right now? All right. Also, you seem like that at that wedding feast, there wasn't enough going. There wasn't, you know what I'm saying? They wasn't able to take care of the party host, wasn't able to take care of those he was responsible for. Didn't have anything to give them. How many of you guys felt empty lately? You felt you didn't have anything to put out. The answer to that, the Bible said this, when they found everything empty, when everything was empty, Jesus looked at them and he said, you just need to add some water. So next week we're going to jump on that. If you're empty of joy, if you have no peace, if your resources are low, you don't need to miss next week. My 100% goal is you need to get some water, and we're going to deal with that next week. Just add some water to it, because when you add water to it, you understand they put water in, but that's not what they got out. They got out what they needed, they got out what they wanted, and they got out what kept the party going. All right. So if you need something, if you want something, or you want the party to get, you need to get some water in your life. So we'll be talking about that next week. But this week, I'm going to be talking on the mentality is really expectation, but it's going to be different because as I was developing it on out, I really don't have a title to put on it. And so I'm just going to go after it. First of all, you've got to understand that in John 10:10, Joe, I did not give you any of my verses because I preached in that class too long. But John 10:10 is one of my very favorite promises in the Bible. Very favorite promises. Because this is what it says. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, you need to understand, that's a promise. That's right. You need to get up expecting that the enemy is going to fight you in the morning. He's going to try to steal from you, kill your destiny, and stop you. He's going to try to destroy everything in your life. That's a promise. So you might as well take it to the bank that the devil's going to try to do that. But it's not all bad news in this scripture. As a matter of fact, it gets much, much better. It says, the devil comes to do this. Then it says this, but I have come. And how many of you guys believe that Jesus Christ actually did walk on the face of this earth? You got to raise your hand, because this scripture don't mean anything to you if that's not true. If Jesus did not come, then the rest of this would not be true. I was reading an article last week, and there's a theologian in the Catholic Church right now trying to come out and say that Jesus had never really died on the cross. It's a folklore, and I was like, man, if anyone grabs onto that belief system or allows that to enter into their life, man, they lose everything. You lose all the... Because if he didn't do it, then none of the rest that he promises is true. So you just got to come to determination that Jesus is real. He's not a folk story. He's not a religious thought. He's not. Jesus is real. And it said this, I have come, Jesus said. The reason why he came, the reason why he left heaven, gave up deity, and became man, the Bible says was not to die on the cross. But it says this, that you may have life. Now, I don't know about you, but that word life, at different points or different days or different pages in my book, has meant different things to me. There's been some days where life was really good. And those days, I was thriving. But then there were some days that the existence of life was just surviving. But the Bible says Jesus came not to hurt, not to harm, not to kill, steal, or destroy, but he came to give life. Now, when you get this understanding clearly in your heart, everything in your life will change. There's some in here today, I believe, that maybe have never given Jesus an opportunity to give them life. You've been living your own life and doing your own thing and trying to get by on your own way. Before we get out of here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive this life that God's given. But God's idea of life is just not surviving. And it's not just thriving. Because the rest of the scripture goes on to say this, and that they may have it. This is not a good positive thought pattern. This is not a hope that I wish it would come true. It says that it is attainable. Jesus came to give you life, and the life that he came to give you is possible for you to receive. So that they may have it. Now you got to understand, there is a difference between may and can. Okay? I don't know. Brother Donald's here. And man, I'm so thankful, brother. Aren't y'all so proud Brother Donald oversees this ministry? If you don't know, Brother Donald's one of the deacons and pastors of this church. But his wife, Sister Thelma, was my English teacher in high school. And we'd raise our hand and say, hey, and she'd come and say, can we go to the bathroom? She said, I don't know. Can you? And any school teacher in here, Miss Bash, the school teacher, she knows. Can means has the ability to. May means that you have permission to. And here it said this. It says, and that you may have it. In other words, God has come to give you life, and he's also given you permission to have it. Now, let me tell you this. The Bible says that the devil comes seeking whom he may devour, not can devour. The devil does not have the ability to devour you. The devil does not come having the ability to kill, steal, destroy you. He came with the may. In other words, he's looking for an opportunity that he could have permission to. But see, the thing about your life is this. God has such an amazing plan for your life. Just the odds of you being here today are astronomical. I was reading research this week, and a bunch of scientists at Yale had come together, and they laid out the odds of you being alive on this planet now, going back and taking into consideration all the wars that have taken place, going back and taking into consideration upon all the chances of, you know what I'm saying, the immigrants moving into this country or moving around that way, going into chances of how many abortions have taken, because we're multiple generations upon abortions now. It's not like the next generation is affected by abortions. This generation has been affected by abortions. So taking into effect all the accidents and wrecks that have taken place in and around you, or how many chances that your parents and their grandparents that had to take a die before you could have got here, they took it and laid out the odds of you being here. And the simple fact that you're here is 1 in 4 trillions of a chance. That is unbelievable. Because if you want to realize how amazing the fact that you're in this place, Google on your phone the difference between 1 million and 1 trillion. 1 million is a lot. But and then go to images and you can pull up all the different pictures of the differences between 1 million and 1 trillion. For example, if you went back 1 million seconds from now, you would be just a couple years back. You go back 1 billion seconds and you'd be a few years before Jesus was born. And then you carry it on back to 1 trillion. Time hadn't even began at that point. And you are here 1 in 4 trillionths of a chance that you and all the... And the truth of the matter is, it's not a coincidence that you exist. It's not a quiz. As a matter of fact, there's no way, I don't know if you're a gambler, a lottery player, or a slot machine puller, but the odds are always against you. The odds are always for the house. And the truth of the matter is, you even sitting in here means it can't be random, because you would not have made it. The odds are so bad about you and me being able to make it through all the history and all the mistakes men have made and all, you wouldn't be here if it was up to chance. But it wasn't up to chance, it's up to design. And that's why the Bible says that you were designed specifically by Him, for Him. And I'm going somewhere because it's very, very important that we get this part laid. You were designed. And He did not make you a loser. And He did not make you average. If He made you average, then the Scripture would have stopped there saying, I came to give you life. But the fact that you're here, I told this story, or this analogy the other day, Ricky, on your birthday. The fact that you're sitting in here is not just that it's proof of God's design because the odds are against you, but the fact that you're in here means you're a winner. Because Ricky, remember Ricky's race? 50 years ago? 50 years ago, 9 months and a few days? Ricky was hanging out over at his dad's place with 100,000 of his buddies. And they all got together talking about, hey, there's going to be a race. So they said, race, great idea. Let's run this race. That'll be fun. And so they lined up on the starting line and they took off. They ran down the tunnel. They ran across the line. And out of 100,000 of your buddies, you were the man. You had 100,000 buddies back then. I bet your Facebook page don't even have that many right now. But you used to hang out with 100,000 buddies. That's amazing. But because, you know why you don't have 100,000 friends on Facebook now? Because he's a winner. Yeah, people don't like to get too close to winners because it makes you feel bad about yourself. People want you to do good, but not too good. And so, hey, Ricky, you're a winner. That's why you don't got 100,000 friends, but I want you to know something. You remain a winner, you'll have 100,000 followers. Because everybody wants to be a winner. But Ricky took off running in that race, and he outran 100,000 of his closest buddies. And that's why he's right here. He was born a winner. You were born a winner. The very fact that you're here is against all odds, 1 in 4 trillion. On top of that, 1 in 100,000 plus, you beat them all, or you wouldn't be sitting here right now. You're here, not by random, not by chance, but by design. And the scripture here in John, it tells you the design that God has for you. He didn't come for you to be a victim. The Bible says that's why the devil's here. The devil comes every day to steal, kill, or destroy you. He come to create you a victim. And as long as you allow yourself to be a victim, as long as you allow the tail to wag the dog, as long as you allow life to happen to you, instead of you happen to life, then the devil wins. But the rest of that scripture says this. The rest of that scripture says, I came. And the proof and the fact that Jesus came means you have the ability and the capability, and it's at your disposal, and it moves into this. You have the opportunity to have a life. Then he goes on to say this. Not just any life. Because he came, you have life. And when you accept him, you have life. But then he said this. But those that will allow me to. Because he said, and that life and that they may. Those that will allow me to. Talking about Jesus at work in your life. You will not just have life, but you will have, the Bible says, life more abundantly. Man, isn't that good? Isn't that good that he has more abundant for you? That's why you designed the way you were designed, and you have in you what you have in you. That's why you can't be satisfied with life as it is or life as status quo. That's why you wake up in the morning with this thing like you feel like there's got to be more. That's why when you lay your head at night, the enemy will try to make you feel guilty or feel bad or feel depressed because you don't have more. Because in you is designed for God to be able to do more. And do more at an abundant rate. How much is abundant? Well, abundant means it's more than you can handle. That's abundant. He didn't say multiplied. He said abundant. Life more abundantly. What is abundantly? Abundantly is more than you can handle. He's got a life for you so full, so fulfilling, so exciting, so that is more than you can handle. I don't know if you've ever been at a moment in time of life that was more than you could handle. I look back and try to remember when I was preparing this way, I'm trying to think, where was a time that I can remember or even equate to or connect back to in my past of a moment that was more than I could handle? And one thing popped out in my mind was when I was a youth pastor, I took a group of kids to Kansas City. We had won the Fine Arts Festival thing for a human Christian video in Florida. So we went to Kansas City to do the fine arts national level, and we won it too, praise God. They were a great group of kids. But we went there, and while we were there, we got there 2 days early, and they have this world's second highest roller coaster in Kansas City. And I thought that would be cool. So I took a bunch of kids, and you know, I was a roller coaster rider, but I'd never rode one quite like that. And it was more than I could handle almost, because when that roller coaster topped that first hill, it was, I mean, I've rode all the ones at Six Flags in Dallas, in New Orleans, and Atlanta. I've done, I mean, I'm a roller coaster rider, but when that one in Kansas City crested that hill, that drop was so fast and so long that I couldn't suck in air. That my belly was so far up in my throat, I thought this, if that would have been 1 second longer, I couldn't have handled this ride. So how much is abundant? That's abundant. Another moment in my life was when I met Jennifer. When she walked in that restaurant, that was another one of them. I knew people may not believe in love at first sight, but I had dated a lot of girls and tried to make a lot of square pegs fit in a lot of round holes. But when I saw Jennifer, she was more than I can handle. And still, 12 years later, she's still more than I can handle. God is very good to me. Another time in my life that it was more than enough, more than abundance, is when I got my three little girls. Not when they were born. I could handle that, was good. But when they're riding in my car and all three of them, the two big ones are fighting and the little one is screaming, the chaos going on in that car, that's more than my nerves can handle. And there are times I'm almost about to pull over and just get out and leave them in the car and let them go at it and see who wins. Whichever one wins, I'll give them a prize. But there, you got to understand, you can remember back something in your life that was more than you can handle. What is a moment? Because the Bible says He wants you to have a life that is more than abundant. More than you can handle. But somehow, some way, we allow the enemy to convince us that life doesn't, or life, it can't be lived, or we don't deserve to have it, or man, it's just too hard to live that. I want you to know something. The Bible says that it is available to you. Because it said it like this. It says, I've come to give you life, and that they may. Means you have the permission and you have the ability to live a life more than abundant. So that put me on a quest at the first of this year, looking at if that's the opportunity that God has given me, a life of more abundancy, an opportunity for me to live more than I am right now, for me to be more happy, for me to be more fulfilled, for me to be more successful, for me to be more effective, for me to be more in every area, more abundantly, my life go to a level that God wants to have that opportunity there, then I need to find out. Because the thing about it is, if you're not looking for opportunities, you'll miss them. You will miss an opportunity. Every day, I realize I miss opportunities to do things with my girls because I'm too busy or I'm too stressed or I got too much responsibility that I will never get to do again. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us are merchants. You're a merchant in here today. You say, okay, no, I'm an employee. I'm not a merchant. No, you're a merchant. Every day you get out of bed, you're exchanging your time for something. For 8 hours a day, a lot of us exchange our time for a certain amount of money. And then a lot of, after the clock we get off of, we go and exchange our time for what we consider to be pleasure. Or we exchange our time for what we feel has to be responsibility. I mowed my yard yesterday, not because I wanted to. And that will be an hour I will not get back. But it was a responsibility. I needed to do it. Miss Linda, I drove by here. Boy, that doesn't the flower bed look good? Give Miss Linda a big hand clap. She exchanged her time and redid our flower beds. Awesome. But you're a merchant. You're trading your time. And so every moment that you have the ability to live that moment more than abundantly. Now, I got to be honest with you. A lot of times, because I'm not looking for the opportunities to find the more out of the moment, I miss a lot of them. I miss a lot of opportunities talking on the phone, honestly, about sometimes unimportant things instead of talking to my little girl when she's broken. You know what I mean? Or I miss a lot of moments doing that. I understand we got to work. I got bills. I got all that. But there's a lot of moments. I watch Alaskan TV shows that I could actually be talking to the most beautiful girl in this room. And I trade those moments. We're always trading things. And if you're not looking for opportunities, you got to understand something. You'll miss them. You can miss an opportunity. I want you to know, this is a year of opportunity. We started in January. God is going to have opportunities and open opportunities and create doors that only He can create. I don't know if you believe in the prophetic, but the prophetic word this year is there will be opportunity. And the truth of the matter about opportunities, there are people that are going to take the opportunity, and there are going to be people that are going to miss the opportunity. And I don't want to miss a good opportunity. And every opportunity the Lord gives you is good. Today there is an opportunity. Today God has given us an opportunity to change things. To do things. To experience things. To live things. And to be changed. And so we're going to go after these. The Amplified version of that same scripture says this. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order. He only comes to do these things, to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have and enjoy life. That's good. Have and enjoy life. In other words, every moment that you're taking a deep breath, Jesus came for you to be able to enjoy that. Jesus did not come for you to have to endure sickness every time you take a breath, for your back to hurt every time you bend over, for your kids to be angry at you every time, for you to be stressed. He came. The reason why He came was for you to have life and enjoy it. But for years, the church got out. The more you suffer for Christ, the more spiritual you are. Christ did the suffering. If you would let Him stay on the cross, instead of you thinking you got to keep getting up there to be spiritual, spiritual is walking in victory. Spiritual is letting everything He did be enough. But it said this, and then in the Amplified it says this. It says, and have it in an abundance to the full till you overflow. So that got me looking for the opportunity. So the scripture we're going to go to today is a unique scripture. It's actually in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is one of those amazing books. I mean, chapters in the Bible. And starts off with, there's a bunch of good stories in there. Let's talk about just a couple. You know, at the beginning, Jesus is talking about marriage and divorce. And then you go on down about 10 verses. And then he starts telling this. He starts talking about, don't suffer the little children to come unto me. You know, the disciples trying to block the little kids. And he says, hey, don't do that. Listen, if you want to come to me, you're going to have to come to me like little children. I tell you what, kids know how to enjoy life, don't they? We have all the furniture moved out of our house. We've sold our house. I'm really excited about this phase. Like I tell you, me and Jen 6 months ago felt like the Lord at the beginning of this year gave us a plan to take a chance and an opportunity. And we fixed up our house and we bought it for an amazing price. Cheapest house that sold in our neighborhood in the last 5 years. We bought it. We put some money into it. And we sold it at the highest level of the other house. I mean, not the highest. There was one that sold more, but at the highest level of the other house. I mean, so we've sold. So we've got all the furniture out of our house right now. It's amazing. Yesterday, the girls were at the house. They don't have any toys. We boxed them all up. We're moving them to a storage building. And we're going to be staying at my parents for a while until we find another place and those kind of things. But so we've got everything. But they went and got blankets. And they stuck blankets all over this house. And you would have thought they were at Six Flags. Playing with these blankets in that house. Kids know how to have fun. They expect every moment. As a matter of fact, if they're not having fun, they let you know you are letting them down on their expectation. And the Lord said, when you come to God, you got to come to God like a kid. Are you expecting God to give you life and life more abundantly? Then it goes on into the scripture in Mark chapter 10. It goes on down to where it talks about a man that was very successful in life. And a lot of times our idea of success is not God's idea of success. The Bible goes into the story and it tells a story about a guy that actually calls him the rich young ruler. Just the title of him breaks down what the world would think is a success. The Bible says he was rich. That means he'd been successful in the marketplace, or his father had and left him a lot of money. And, you know, I don't know if it was gifted to him. I don't know if he had earned it. I don't know if he was a self-made man or a legacy man. His family had left it to him. I don't know that, but I know this. If you were to look at his bank accounts, the Bible gives him the description that he was successful. It says he was rich. Next thing, he was young. How many guys want to stay young? Tell you what, every time I look in the mirror, I think, Lord, I'll never be like him. I've done missed those days. I wasn't rich when I was young, but this guy was young. I mean, he was vibrant. He was still full of life. He was still able to work. He was still able to do things. He was rich and he was young. Then the Bible says he was a ruler. So that tells me this. In his own right, he was successful. Because he had moved himself to a place in a manager's position and then went from there up to the boss, and he wasn't a supervisor or superintendent. Whatever position he held, he was the ruler, and that he done went as high as you could go. He done climbed the corporate ladder. And so by all definition of who he is, the Bible or the world would say he's a success. But the Bible says he walked to Jesus. He says, what must I do? Can't you hear the frustration in that? Man, I'm a success. I've done all this stuff. But what he said is, I'm still unfulfilled. I'm still unhappy. I still have problems. I still have issues. It's not enough. I've completely reached everything I had thought I needed to reach in life, but I'm still lacking. And so he came to Jesus saying, what must I do? And Jesus said, well, you need to live right. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, it's harder to live right when you're doing good than it is when you're doing bad. It's harder when your bank accounts are full not to get in trouble than they are when your bank accounts are empty. So Jesus looked at him and said, hey, you need to live right. And he said, I do. I keep the Ten Commandments. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, all right, now, give away all you have. And follow me. And this is what the Bible says. This complete success. I mean, he was a complete success. successful at work, rich, young, full of life, full of vibrancy. He could do anything he wanted to do, had the ability to go and do and be. And the Bible says he was still lacking. And Jesus told him what he could do to have that void filled. And the Bible says he walked away sad. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Hey, I've come to give you life. And those that will let me, I will give you life more abundantly. But this success in the world's eye, I decided I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to do it your way." And the Bible says he walked away as a complete in the eyes of success. But he went home sad. I don't know if he had addiction. I don't know if he had relationship issues. I don't know if he had children issues. But he walked away sad. He had depression in his life. He had burdens on his shoulders. And he should have had it all. Then the Bible goes in on Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to go. And it starts talking about another man. An everyday folk. Not a rich one, but an everyday folk. And his name was Bartimaeus. Now, Joe, I did, but my notes, I didn't. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We're going to start there. And this was an everyday folk. And it says, "And now they came to Jericho, as he went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timoneus, sat by the road begging." Now, a lot of times we just read into that right there, and we go on and discredit this guy from being a normal guy. And we put him in a lower class, or a disabled class, or not in the class that a lot of us are in. But you got to understand, this was a normal guy. He was a normal guy. As a matter of fact, he was so normal, he got up and went to work every day. The Bible goes into detail telling about who he is, because it tells him who his daddy is. He had a daddy. He was a normal guy. Came from a family. He got up, the Bible says, and he would go to jail. He got up and went by the road of Jericho. And we know he went there. Let me tell you, he was a professional at what he did. You'll see it in a few minutes. But the Bible says he wore a beggar's coat. They only gave beggar's coats to professional beggars back then. In other words, they weren't scammers. They actually had a legitimate reason to put a coat on. And the Bible says here he was blind. And so he had a professional coat. When you saw somebody wearing a beggar's coat, you didn't have to worry about it like you do now when you stop at the gas station. Somebody goes, "Hey man, you got a dollar? You know, are you trying to scam me or not?" This guy was professional at what he did. And he did the same thing every day. As a matter of fact, I read this story now in a different light. This guy was a complete success, as much as a success as the rich young ruler just a few scriptures above. He had a job. He held it down. Went to it every day. And he obviously was good at it, because he was still eating. So I don't want to look at him as a man that had a physical disability. We're going to talk about that just for a bit. I want you to look at this guy's like being one of us. Just a regular, everyday guy. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of us in here may not be successful like the rich young ruler. If you're my age or anywhere near it, you've done lost one of those categories anyway. You're not young anymore. And so my thing is, when I read the description of rich young ruler and I look in a mirror, that's not what I see. But when I look at the description of a regular guy, that's me. And here, Bartimaeus got up and went to work every day. He had a dad, he had a family, and he kept a job. He was obviously stable or dependable. He had a professional jacket on. I mean, he didn't. And the thing about it was this. He was exactly, she going to be a preacher. Y'all hear? At least one of them might end up that way. The blind Bartimaeus was in the exact same shape is the rich young ruler just a few scriptures above. I picture this guy getting up, going to work every day. And I'm sure he'd gotten into a routine, because, you know, the way blind people function is if they go to somewhere new, they have a hard time finding their way around. But what they do, what blind people do, is they build routines. And so you can take a blind person and you can put them in a room, and what they'll do is they'll feel their way around the room and they'll start counting steps. 12 steps to the couch. 6 steps to the sink. Blind people work in routines. They build routines And that's how they begin to function. I want you to know something. Most of us have gotten into the place where we begin to live in routines. We get up, we go to work on Monday. We go to work on Tuesday, Wednesday. We get off work, we go home, we eat dinner, we watch the same TV shows. Depending on what day of the week it is, we spend our time with the same people, doing the same things. And we get up on Sundays and go to church. And that's on a rare Sunday because we might be busy. I mean, we are people of routine. And the thing about it is this, you were not made for routine. God is not a routine God. You need to understand this about God. God's not a routine God. What God is He is a expanding, a moving, a progressive God. Because God could have created in the Bible at the beginning routinely, in a certain way, the same every day, but He didn't. Every day He created something different. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this about God. He is even new every morning. It says His mercies are new every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Today is completely different than yesterday. God is not a routine God. Problem is, we get stuck into routine. Now, I want you to know something. Routine leaves you empty. How many get tired of doing the same old thing and the same old thing and the same old thing and staying at the same old level and the same old level and the same old level? It's because you were never meant to be doing the same old thing and the same old thing and living at the same level and the same. God created you to live with the opportunity to live life more abundantly. The blind Bartimaeus understood this. The rich young ruler did not. The blind Bartimaeus was just like a regular folk. We read him being blind, but I want you to know something. Every one of us have something wrong with us. You know, you might be the angry Renee, or you might be the depressed Cricket, or if we had to put a title on our issues, everybody in here would have a title a mile long because we all have issues. Blind Bartimaeus was not any less because he was blind. I believe this story is actually in this Bible because it's more than just a physical illness here. Or a physical limitation. I believe there's a lot more into this blindness than a lot of times we read into it. To have and to be able to get the opportunities that God brings before you, you have to be able to see them. And a lot of us in here today haven't been able to move into life more abundantly because we have not seen the opportunities that God has put before us. And the thing about this is, that makes us all blind in some area. Now the question is this, are we going to do what the rich young ruler did and stay sad, stay burdened, or are we going to do what blind Bartimaeus did? And I'm going to break down real quickly, we've got a few minutes, of how he was able to move from just living and just getting by and just getting through. And I'm saying, because I'm tired of doing the same old thing the same old way. I am. I'm tired of being on the same level. And the Bible says that there's an opportunity for my life to change. And it doesn't matter what level of life you're on, you can be a complete success in the world's eyes and still be completely broken on the inside, or you can be completely broken on the outside and be a complete success on the inside. Circumstances can't determine whether or not you're living life abundantly or not. Only you can. Because the Bible says God has made it available to you. First thing we got to do is look at this. It says he was sitting at Jericho. Let me lay out what Jericho was here. Jericho was a very popular place for blind people. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, this story was told several times, but it was told in a couple different viewpoints. In Matthew 20, 29, 30, you don't got to go there, but it says that Jesus healed two blind men as he left Jericho. There were two blind men there. What happened was at Jericho, there was a place where people would come in and go out as a merchant city. And so blind men would gather on the way. It was a popular place for good old guys, regular folks, to gather there and make a living. It's kind of like a church. Everybody in here has something wrong with us. And we all come in here to gather, hoping to get something out of it. But the truth of the matter is a lot of us are in the routine of just coming and going the same way that we came. And when an opportunity arises, we don't recognize it because we're blind. And so we all sit in a group together, and that's where the expression goes, the blind leading the blind. When you walked into Jericho, historians believe that the street going down was filled with blind people. So the thing about it was, the way these guys made a living was they had to be the best blind guy there. That's why their coats were important. Who had the most professional position? I mean, where'd you get out on the road? Because if they're all blind, so on the road, which one are you going to give to? That the people would walk by. So the truth is, we're all probably pretty good at what we do. Think about it. Is what we're doing enough? Are you satisfied? Are you fulfilled? Are you living the abundant life? Because the Bible says it's available to you. You have the opportunity to go there. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of us have moved into a place and we're in a routine and we're satisfied with just getting by or just getting through. As a matter of fact, we're not even satisfied. So many of us are so dissatisfied that that's all we can talk about, but yet we still do it. We still keep going to the same job, doing the same thing, hanging out with the same people, doing the same routine, and we gripe about it all the time. Man, I just wish I had a chance. I wish I got an opportunity. You do got an opportunity. God has given you an opportunity. It says, for those may have the opportunity. For those that will be willing to take it, get the opportunity to live a life abundantly. Amen. It's a picture of a man, blind Bartimaeus is a picture of a man that's lived his whole life. He had a family, talked about who his dad was. Just living day to day. Just doing what he was doing. Just taking care of what needed to be taken care of. He was hungry every day, so he went out there and begged every day. Just going through the routine of life, getting his paycheck on Friday and paying his bills on Monday. Just doing it and doing it and doing it. And see, the rich young ruler had done learned to be a success in the world, but he still wasn't satisfied. And here's the blind side. Bartimaeus was. He was doing the routine, and he wasn't satisfied. So I want you to know something. If you don't get a hope to Jesus in your life, you will never be satisfied. It don't matter what level of life you choose to live on. God is the only thing that will satisfy you. But then, so let's break it down. He sat on the side of the road and he begged. He was a man that was getting by. But what was keeping him in that place was his lack of vision. Now you got to understand something. If you are a child of God, if you are born again, then you have the ability to have vision. Truth of the matter is, most of us don't. Most of us can't see the nose on the end of our face. And that'll make sense shortly, but most of us don't. I guarantee there are three different ways you can be blind here. One, blind Bartimaeus, I'm taking, for example, he was blind physically, but the Bible says here in this story, three different times, it calls him blind three different times. It says blind Bartimaeus and the blind man. Three different times it said there are three ways you can be blind. One, you can be blind physically. Two, you can be blind physically. Spiritually. And then three, you can be blind with dreams and visions. If you are a child of God, there is supposed to be a dream and a vision in you, no matter what age you are. The Bible says in Acts, it says that the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams. It says, in the latter days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it says, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. See, a lot of times we think we're too old to dream anymore. I done got too old. That dreaming is for young. No, young men are supposed to see visions. Old men are supposed to dream dreams. You're supposed to still be dreaming until you're in the ground. You're supposed to be dreaming. One of the reasons why we do not live the life more abundantly is because we have moved to a place that we're too old to dream. We're blind to it. God is trying to stir something in your heart. God is trying to get you excited about something. God is trying to show you, I have more for you than this. But because we're so busy, or we're so doing the routine, or we get blind to what God wants to do. And we miss opportunities. You can be blind spiritually. You can't even see God at work in your life. So you just keep doing what you're doing because you can't see God even doing anything at all. I want you to know something. God works best in the dark. And if you can't see God doing it, you need to understand He's doing it anyway. 3 days it was dark in a cave, and he did the best work you've ever seen. If he came here and did nothing but that dark day, 3 day graveyard shift, it'd have been worth it all. God sees in the dark. So we have to see. There, the Bible talks about being able to see things spiritually. And then we're blind physically. What is it that makes people blind? There are reasons for blindness. And one of the reasons people have blindness is because in the old days with this guy, it said this, that, you know, the thought pattern was, if you were blind, then God was judging you. You remember they came to him and said, Jesus, who sinned that this man would be born blind? Did his mama sin? Did his daddy sin? Did he sin? I want you to know something. You're not blind because God is mad at you. And you're not blind because God is judging you. You haven't done anything so bad that the blood of Jesus couldn't cover. There is a dream, there is a vision, there is an opportunity, there is a more abundant life available to you, and there is no judgment of God in your life keeping you from it. So that one just got to go out the window. Some people were blind from birth. They never had the ability to see. A lot of us today in the church are blind because what it is, we've never exposed ourselves to see anything different than the way we've always seen it. You got to understand, everything you see, everything you do is filtered through the lenses of who you are. You cannot love any greater than you've ever been loved. You cannot trust any greater than you can than you've been able to trust. Where you've been hurt sets the level of your trust. What I mean by in marriages, there's so many couples that have a problem trusting each other. The reason why is because you can't trust anybody any farther than you are have the capability of having somebody trustworthy in your life. If your mom and dad let you down, that's why you can't trust anybody. If your brothers and sisters let you down, that's why you think God's letting you down, because some of us have never been exposed to be able to see anything differently than the way we see it. And so we're blind. It can't be any different than the way I know it. It's always been like this. It's always going to be like this. You know, my mom and dad couldn't love me, so nobody can love me. You know what? My last boss, he didn't do nothing but rip me off. Every boss I'm going to have is going to rip me off. We walk around blind. We get stuck in a routine because we're not exposed. We're basically blind from birth. Another reason why people get blind is because they get hurt. You can take a blow at such a point, it can knock your eyesight out. Some of us in here are blind because we've been hurt so bad by people that weren't supposed to hurt us. And when we got hurt that way, we can't see past the hurt that has happened. Some of us in here were hurt at the ages of 8, 9, 10 years old. And because we were hurt so bad by people that were supposed to protect us then, we can't see past that. And so we walk through life blind. We think, boy, if God let that happen to us, He must not want anything good for me. We walk around blind and we lose the more abundantly in life. Another reason why people get blind, because they get sick. When you can get sick, there's diseases that cause blindness. And you can get sick, and because of a weakness in your life, you may have a weak immune system, or you might have a gene thing, and you get sick and it takes your blindness away. A lot of us in churches get blind to seeing what God could do is because we never got strong in areas where we should have got strong. And so we get sick in those areas. And when we get sick in those areas, we can't have faith there. My question is, are you blind? And if you are blind in an area, let me ask you this. Are you sick and tired of not seeing what God has for you? Because the thing about it, something, we stop. And we have to think about, God, was that really you? Will you tell me again? God shouldn't have to tell you again. Why? Does he have to keep saving you over and over again? Or is one salvation enough for you? There were years I came to the altar thousands of times growing up trying to get saved. My dad said, kept saying, keep doing it till it sticks. And it stuck one day. But let me tell you what it did. The first time I went up, I didn't really give up. But when it did happen, it was instantaneous in my life. When I came up and gave my heart to the Lord, I was no longer a sinner. I was a saved. When God shows you your life and the destiny for you, it's not within you to do it. You already are it. You've got to understand, when you hesitate, you got to start over. This is what the Bible said. We're going to speed up. We got 3 minutes. We got to get to it because you got to see this part. The Bible says that blind Bartimaeus was there and he heard. He heard. He didn't have to see it. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to see it. I'm not trying to draw a picture for you up here this morning. If I would, I'd have brought my chalk in. But I'm trying to tell you this. Because you don't got to see it. You just got to believe it. When you hear, he heard Jesus was coming by. And when he heard Jesus of Nazareth coming by, he decided, but you know, this is the first story in the gospel that declares that he is the Messiah. No other time did anybody call him the Messiah. He said, the Bible says, when he heard he was coming by, the blind man, Bartimaeus, started hollering, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David made direct response back to the lineage of David and made him back to the Messiah. No one else had called Jesus the Messiah yet. They called him the Son of God. They didn't call him Messiah yet. He started calling Jesus when he heard he was coming by. You want that life more abundantly? You get to a place where you start worshiping. That's what we talked about last week, worshiping. You come here to give him something. You don't come here to get nothing. And then that moves you into the place. The Bible says that God was able to do something. Then the Bible says this in that story. The Bible says that he started hollering, Jesus. And then it said this, the people that were sitting around him, oh, this is so dangerous. The people that were sitting around him started telling him, if you read it in the King James, it said they started warning him, be quiet. A lot of us lose right here the more abundant life in our life because of the people we're running around with. I got to tell you, there's some things going on inside of me and Jennifer right now that we're just about to explode on. But I'm having to be very careful who I tell it to. Or who can hear me talk about it. Because I know this, not everybody can handle or can see what I see. And not everybody can handle or see what you see. And you got to know, if God's told you something, that if you start telling the wrong people are going to take you, bind you up, throw you in a pit, and sell you out down the river, just like they did Joseph. The Bible says he started telling his brothers what he saw, and they didn't believe it. You know why they didn't believe it? Because they didn't get nothing out of it. I'm telling you this. There are people that don't get nothing out of what God's doing in your life because God's got something for them in their life, but they're not willing to look for what God's got for them in their life. They just want to hear you talk about it. And when you talk about it, what happens is, boom, they're instantly going to throw their chain. Shut up. You better be quiet. You better not say a word. They started warning him. But the Bible said this. He was different than the rich young ruler. The success just to go said this. It says, when they warned him, he got louder. Because it was not what they thought about him. I want you to know something. When you start living the life, there are going to be people thinking you don't deserve the life. And the truth is, you don't. But it ain't because of you, but it's because of God. God created, said, I came that you may have life and may have it more abundant. You're absolutely right. I don't deserve a single good thing in my life. I've not been a good person. And every day I struggle being what I've always been. But I've decided that that's dead and I have to walk away from it. But every day that I get up and walk out, there are people that are wanting to make me back what I was. That's why when you read in the Bible, and it talk about we call him the prodigal son. He is not the prodigal son. He is the redeemed son. But see, we keep putting labels back on him because of what he was. People will constantly want to keep you where you are. So you've got to understand this. If you're going to see what God has for you and you're going to live what God has for you, you need to decide who it is you're going to be sitting with when you start saying what you're going to say to the Lord. Because people will warn you and then they will actually try to stop you. They will start pouring into you doubt and pouring into you disbelief. And so you've got to decide. You just can't throw your pearls before every swine. Because hogs like to eat and consume upon themselves. If they ain't getting none out, I want you to know something. If it's a dream from God, you're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to get to be a part of it. because it's about God. But then the Bible said this. This is what the Bible said. We got to go. This is what it says. It says, he started hollering louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says this, and you can look in the Word, and it says, and then Jesus stood still. You want to get Jesus' attention? You start worshiping who He is. Tell you talking about, I don't care if He's on His way to the cross. I don't care if He is on it. You realize this street was full of blind men, and not all of them got a healing that day. But it was the one that began to cry out and worship the Lord was the one that got to touch Jesus that day. I want to tell you this, you're not going, until you move to a place of worship, you move yourself to a place where you're going to cry out to the Lord, till you move to a place where it don't matter what nobody says, nobody thinks, it don't matter, and move yourself away. If you're sitting by somebody that's talking to you during worship service, move. Well, Cricket, I'll move when I see it. Well, you're blind. Move now and start shouting, because he couldn't see until he had already gotten to a place where he was worshiping. And then this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. You get God's attention. Not what you have to offer Him, but at the desperate level you need Him. We preached the other couple of Sundays ago about being hungry. So if you can't be hungry and thirst for righteousness, if you can't be hungry for more things of God, you're not going to get God's attention. The rich young ruler actually had an encounter with Him and didn't want it bad enough. The blind man just heard. He didn't even get to see Him, but decided, if He's anywhere close, I'm going to get His attention, and I'm going to get something from Him today. And he started shouting to himself, and this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus stood still, and He told them, come up here. And then all the naysayers at that point, they got on the bandwagon. Oh, come on, blind Bartimaeus. Hey, He's got something good for you. And I tell you, it was the same one saying, you better shut up. Now saying, oh, we want to help you out, man. You got to be careful who you let in on what you see God doing. You got to understand it. Because God's got a vision for their life. But if you ain't careful, you'll find yourself dragging 10 people on your coattail. I appreciate very much so coattails. I've rode my daddy's for a long time. But I've got to a point now where I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to ride a coattail any longer. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to run after Jesus myself. I'm going to run after what God has for me. And I'm going to run after the vision that thank God. So maybe you've never done it before. Maybe it's never been nowhere. You're going to run after it. Then this is what it says. It says, they said, come on, He wants to see you. And this is what it said. And this is what I come to a point to say today. Says he was sitting there and he had his professional jacket on. And it says, when he said, come on, the Bible says the first thing he did, and it says he threw it away. Because he was under, he went from hearing, he saw it for the first time in his life, that God has something more for me than this routine that I've been living. God has something more for me than this position in life that I've been dealt. God has something more for me than the hand that I've been living with. And I am going to make the decision that I'm going to, and you got to understand this, burn my boat. You know what that means? You ever heard the story of Cyrus and Alexander the Great took on after him? There's a philosophy called burn the ships. And what it was, there were several great battles that were fought. A conquistador from Spain sailed to the New World. And they were going to tell you, and they landed in Mexico. And they were going to plunder Mexico and take all the gold and all the silver. But he knew his men would get faint-hearted. He knew his men were going to have to deal with tough and difficult days. He knew that the enemy may be so strong that his men would give up. So the history records the first thing he did was he set fire. When they landed on land, he set fire to all his boats. And he burnt the ships because there was no going back. You take a blind man and throw his jacket into a crowd, there's no chance he's going to find that thing back. Now let me tell you this. The minute he threw it off, I'm sure there was somebody saying, oh, wait, Bartimaeus, you dropped your coat. Somebody trying to put him back into the same position he was in. Tell you, when you know God has set you free, you don't let anybody put you back where you came from. If he said it, That's what you are. It's not going to become it. It's not going to... He said it. The Word of God creates. It instantaneously makes things happen. And if He said you're free, you're free. If He says you're happy, you're happy. If He tells you, and you say, as I always tell people all the time, you know, I tell guys that, you know, have struggles with an alcoholic, I say, don't stop drinking until you hear God say it. Because you are. What's an alcoholic? No, you are an alcoholic until God says you're not. But the minute He says you're not, you don't need 10 years under your belt. The minute He says you're not, you're free. And don't let anybody put that back on you. Oh, but you've always been that, so that's what you're always going to be. Well, you know, I've always been nothing. But then Jesus came in my life. When Jesus came in my life, it changed everything. And now I have the opportunity and the availability and the ability to live a life more than abundant. I'm so excited about my life right now. Me and Jennifer, it's been a hard several months. We've had a hard several years. But I'm about to write the largest tithe check I have ever written in my life this week. And it's not because I'm rich. It's because God is good. And I tell you what, that tithe check, I'm believing God to be the smallest one that I'm going to write for a long time. Because I am looking for opportunities. I am looking for chances. For God, I'm just listening. I'm getting up in the morning and I pray, I'm saying, God, tell me what you want me to do today. Because if you say it, that's what I'm going to become. And if you say it, that's what I am. And I can do it. I can do it. God says, I can do all things through Christ. Now, if you read on in that, right before it talks about in chapter 10, right before it talks about blind Bartimaeus, it goes into the story that nothing is impossible to God. Problem with it is, we start thinking when we start seeing things that they're too big and that really can't be God. You got to understand something. Man, you got a big God. He's got great visions and great dreams in your life. Now, what you got to understand is, until you burn your boat, and what burn your boat means is this, until you take a step forward and you decide, I am not coming back. We just sold our house. That means this, my family's homeless. And there would have been a time I'd have been scared. I'd have been trying to sell the other house that I would have been trying. I ain't scared at all. Do you know why? I'm burning my boat and I'm going after what God has for me and my family. We're burning that thing. I'm not going back, because if God gave me that house, He's got a better one He's going to give me, and I'm going to make more money off it, because I want to write a bigger tithe check than I've ever written. And then when I get that one, I got a wife that's what she lives and breathes and dreams about is real estate. And I know this, that if God put that in her, He's gifted her, He's created. It's not by random. It's 1 in 4 trillion chance, and that she beat everybody else to get here, and she's gifted with what God's got her. God gave her to me to help me become more abundant in my life. And so we're going to run after this stuff like you've never seen it run after before. What you got to know is this. It said he threw that coat off and he jumped up and he started moving toward God. And this is what he said. Jesus stopped him and said, what do you want me to do for you? Now his greatest need at that moment was he needed money in his cup. Do you understand that? That's why he was giving his energy. If you are wasting your time on little dreams, you're wasting your time on little visions, you're wasting your time on, Lord, I just need another job, or Lord, I just need another, I need another check this week, or Lord, if you're wasting your time on little things, God will give you what you ask for. Jennifer preached it Wednesday night. You have not because you ask not. The thing about it is, a lot of us don't know what questions we need to be asking God. Blind Bartimaeus had it in him already so strong that when he's got God's attention, he says, what do you want? He didn't say, well, let me think about it for a minute. Let me go pray. No, he'd been dreaming and thinking about it in his head for a long time. He'd been laying in bed at night, sitting on the side of the road in the heat, so said, I wish I could see. I wish I could see. I wish I could see. You got to understand that each one of you have a dream inside of you. You may have to go back to where you were 10, 12, 13 years old, you remember that you used to dream about doing something great for God. You knew there was something inside of you that you knew your life was supposed to mean something, and that you knew God was going to use you to change all kind of things. You have a dream inside there. But what's happened is we put our eyes on little things for so long that when God asks us what we want, we actually encounter Him, we ask Him for something little. I tell you what, you better ask God for vision. Say, God, give me a bigger dream than I got this. Because if you can dream it, God can do it. There is nothing that is impossible for God to whom that believes. If you can dream, this is what he said. He says, you are healed according to your faith. If you're just believing God for another check to keep your lights on, your lights are going to stay on. Let me ask you this. Have any of you starved to death yet? No, doing. That's what we spend most of our time doing. We're trying to just get the next meal or the next. You're not starved to death yet. Dream bigger. He's not going to let you starve. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor dream bigger. Get a bigger vision for what God can use you to do. Because if you can picture yourself doing it, and you can hear God tell you that He's made you with that, and He's going to cause it to come about, there's nothing that can stop it. Dream bigger. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, when God touched him, said he began to see. Then this is what it says. It says, then he began to follow Jesus. Why does God want you to live a life more abundantly? Because God is wanting to take you to places you've never dreamed you could go. God is wanting to use you in areas that you never dreamed you could be used. God's wanting to lead. See, he had a dream to get his vision back. When he got his vision back, then Jesus said, all right, now you use that dream to come with me. I got to take you somewhere you never thought you would go, and you would see things you never thought you would see. You come on with me. God, your dream is just the start of it. What you get before the Lord and God shows you and you hear him say that you can do and you are going to be and you're going to be able to accomplish, that's just the beginning. Because the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or even has come into the thought of man, the good things that God has in store for those. You're one in a trillion. You came in this thing a winner, and if you allow God to put the life that he has in store for you into your life, you're going to go out of here a winner too in the name of Jesus. It's all up to you. He says that they may have life and light. You have the ability and the opportunity. Now the question is this. Do you have the vision? Do you have the vision?